Church, I'm going to keep asking questions till y'all start talking back. Come on now. If you're glad to be at church, say amen.
Amen.
That's good. That's good. Well, we spent the week in Birmingham, but we are so glad to be back in Bay Minette with our church family. We had a great visit. It's always good to come home. So glad to be back with y'all. Want to welcome everybody that's watching on Facebook. Thank y'all for tuning in. We're going to get started here in just a minute. So again, I want to welcome anybody. I want to welcome our visitors that are visiting with us today. Thank y'all for being here. We're glad that you're here. And all right, got a couple of cards I want to read to you. This is from Miss Imogene and her family. It says, "To our church family, early Sunday morning, the spirit of our beloved Joyce was loosed from her earthly body and received into the arms of her Savior. We mourn the loss of Joyce in her physical body to hug, to kiss, but we rejoice she is healed and at peace with her Lord Jesus. We celebrate the honor we had to have been loved by her and her homegoing. Now we look forward to our reunion in heaven." Praise the Lord. If those of us that believe, we don't have to mourn like those that have no hope. We have the hope of a reunion in heaven. And that is such a comfort when we're going through those times of loss. It says, "Thank you, church, for each prayer, call, message, and card. We appreciate each word of support and encouragement. To our brothers and sisters in Christ, may you be blessed as you have blessed us. With the love of Jesus, the Overby and Highmire family." So thank y'all for that card, and thank you, church, for ministering during a time of need. We also have a card here from Brother Quitman. It says, "To my church family, I want to thank you for your prayers. Please continue to pray for me. I have a long way to recovery. Thanks for the cards. I enjoyed them. The food was great. Love all of you and miss you. In God's name, Quitman Lot." So y'all continue to pray for those families and continue to reach out. Appreciate the church, being the church. That's part of what we do, is we love and take care of each other. So, that's one of the first things that I noticed about this church when we came and visited, is how loving this church is and how much they care, not only about the church family, but about the community. So thank y'all for being the light of Jesus Christ. All right, well, we're going to get started with worship here in just a second. Before we do that, let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, it's good to be in your house, Lord. Your house is wherever you are and wherever your people are. So although we're in the gym and not in the sanctuary, Lord, we know that you are here with us. We pray that everything that we do this morning would glorify you. We pray the prayers, the singing, the giving, the preaching, everything that is done, Lord, I just pray that it would honor you and it would glorify you, and that today you would be high and lifted up and all people would be drawn close to you, Lord. So just bless this time that we have together. We love you. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. All right, Brother Robert.
All right. Good to see everybody out here this morning. And we're going to start out with a song entitled, "I Sing Praises." You know, the Bible says, there's a verse in there that says, if I be lifted up, Jesus says this, I will draw all men unto me. And when we come to praise the Lord and to sing praises to him, we are lifting him up. And when we do that, he said, if he's lifted up, he will draw all men unto him.
I sing praises to your name, O Lord, praises to your name, O Lord, for your name is great and greatly to be praised. I sing praises to your name, O Lord, praises to to your
know we had one birthday in this month, didn't we? Anybody have a birthday? Else have a birthday? Miranda, you got to stand now. We know you had a birthday. Anybody else have a birthday? Okay. We're going to sing this to Miranda. Okay. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. God bless you. Happy birthday to you. All right. All right. How about anniversaries? Any anniversaries in June? Aha! All right. Good. Happy anniversary to you. Happy anniversary to you. Happy anniversary. God bless you. Happy anniversary to you. This next song we're going to sing is entitled, I'll Tell the World That I'm a Christian. Today, pastor's going to be preaching. I think you're still on Jonah. And Jonah, he was told to do something that he didn't want to do. And that was go to people he didn't like. He really hated them. And what was he supposed to go tell them? The good news. He's supposed to go tell them about our Lord. And you know, we're to go out in this world that we live in, and whether we like people or we don't like them, where we look like them, feel like them, talk like them, think like them, we're to go out and to tell this world that we're Christians. Sometimes we don't have to say anything. Now, I was thinking this morning, if you go up to Walmart and everywhere you went up there, you were smiling. You think anybody'd notice that? Yeah. And they'd say, what's going on with him or with her? And if they stop and say, hey, what's going on? Hey, I'm a Christian. I know the Lord. Thank the Lord that he saved my soul. And there's that place. So we can tell the world that we're Christians in a lot of different ways. By our outlook, by the way we carry ourselves, the things we do, or we can come out and tell them about our story. So let's say, I'll tell the world that I'm a Christian. I'll tell the world that I'm a Christian. I'm not ashamed his name to bear. I'll tell the world that I'm a Christian. I'll take him with me anywhere. I'll tell the could love me so. My life, my all, this is forever. And where he leads me, I will go. I'll tell the world that he is me. It may be skewed near or far away, we must live as if his coming would be tomorrow or today. For when he comes and life is over, for those who love him, he will to be. Eyes have never seen the preparing for you and me. I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to start using the book. When I look up there, I get off course. So I'm going to look at the book, and that'll help me out. We're going to sing, He is Jehovah. He is Jehovah, God of creation. Jehovah, Lord God Almighty, the Balm of Gilead, the Rock of Ages. He is Jehovah, the God that healeth thee. Sing Alleluia, sing Alleluia, sing Alleluia, sing Alleluia. The great I am, the God of Abraham, Jehovah Shalom, the God of peace I am, the God of Israel, the everlasting one. He is Jehovah, the God that healeth thee. Sing Alleluia, sing Alleluia. Lord God Almighty, He is Jehovah, the God that healeth thee. Just a minute, let's all stand on this, okay? He's your provider, Jehovah Jireh, God of salvation, God of Messiah. The Son He sent to you, He testified of Him. He is Jehovah, God that healeth thee. Sing Alleluia, sing Alleluia, sing Alleluia, sing Alleluia. He is Jehovah, Lord God Almighty. He is Jehovah, the God that healeth thee. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you and praise you for this wonderful day. Lord, you've blessed us so. You're so great to us and blessed us in so many ways. Thank you for saving our souls. And Lord, may we, as your followers, be able and may we go out and tell the world about you and show you forth to a world that needs to know about you. Bless our pastor today as he comes to give us your word. And Lord, may we be changed by it. And may we be better equipped and Lord, better in step with you, that we can honor you and glorify you in all that we do. Give us a good and great day and forgive us of our sins in Jesus' name. Amen. The next song we're going to do is Send the Light. Send the light, send the light. There are souls to rescue, there are souls to save. Send the light, send the light, send the light. The blessed gospel light, let it shine from shore to shore. Send the light, the blessed gospel light, let it shine. Macedonian call today, send the light, send the light. We have cross we lay, send the light, send the light, send the light. The blessed gospel light, let it shine from shore to shore. Send the light, the blessed.
blessed gospel light, let it shine forevermore.
How many verses we got in this song? I can't.
Four.
We're doing a third now, aren't we? Okay.
Let us pray that grace may everywhere abide. Send the light, send the light. Let the Christ-like Spirit everywhere be found. Send the light, send the light, send the light. The blessed gospel light, let it shine from shore to shore. Send the light, the blessed gospel light, let it shine forevermore.
The ushers can come forward now, okay?
Let us not grow weary in the work of love. Send the light, send the light. Let us gather jewels for a crown above. Send the light, send the light. Gospel light, let it shine forevermore.
Amen. Are going to come up and they're going to sing and do a song today. I'm going to help them out, and it's entitled Nobody. You know, sometimes when people look at us Christians, y'all go ahead. When people look at us Christians, I think we got it all together. We don't have any problems, and they can't equal a Christian. You know, when we're telling somebody about the Lord, we can start out. I'm just a nobody, trying to tell everybody all about somebody who saved my soul. And that's the song that we're gonna sing, because we are nobodies. He is everything, and if we can let folks know that don't know him, that we're no better than they are, we're just common folk, and he loves them just as much as he does us. So now, if you're in the group, a young person, and you've sang this song before, and you'd like to come up here and join us, feel free to come up. Anybody that would feel that way. I know stage fright sometimes too, and I understand that, but you're welcome to. Anybody that would like to come? Nobody? Okay. All right, girls.
Quiet. With all the other generations, what is
In worship. Well, can't preach without my Bible. All right, wasn't that good? Well, such a great message. Well, when we go and we try to tell somebody about Jesus, we're not having to tell them about ourselves. We don't have to tell them about how good we are, right? I'm just a nobody. You're just a nobody. That's not a cut down. It's magnifying Him. He's the one that's important, right? And so we're just nobodies telling everybody about the one that really matters, and that's Jesus Christ. So thank you, girls, for leading us in worship. That was awesome. All right. So if you have your Bibles, I want to invite you to go ahead and turn with me to Jonah. We're in chapter 3 this morning. So go ahead and turn with me there. The last couple of weeks, and really this entire year, has been a difficult one so far. Really unprecedented times. We're facing all kinds of things that we've really never faced before. And if we're not careful, we will become overwhelmed with the weight of everything that's going on. And as someone that struggles with a lot of Eeyore days, I know that the world can be overwhelming sometimes. Does everybody know who Eeyore is? When I'd say I'm having an Eeyore day, anybody have any idea what that means? That means my head's hanging down and I'm just feeling sad and feeling weighed down by everything that's going on, right? He was on Winnie the Pooh, for those of you that don't know. Eeyore was always down and depressed. And I have a lot of those days. It's pretty regular for me, and one of the only things that can shake me out of that slump, if you will, is praising the Lord. So I love to come together with y'all. Now, I can praise the Lord by myself. I can praise the Lord anywhere and everywhere, but there's something special about coming together as a church family. And so I love to sing praises to the Lord. And honestly, when I'm feeling down, that's one of the ways that the Lord lifts my head, is in looking up to Him and praising Him. So thankful to be with y'all this morning. I needed that time of worship. I don't know about y'all, but I certainly needed it. We're going to continue in our study of the book of Jonah. We're going to work through chapter 3. We've seen that Jonah was a man on the run in chapter 1. And then we've seen Jonah be a man on his knees in chapter 2. Today we're going to see Jonah as a man on a mission in chapter 3. He was a man on a mission. But before we turn our attention to the text that we're going to be in, let's focus our attention right now, putting away every distraction. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that You would speak to us through Your Word. Your Word is powerful and active and alive, and it is holy and it is good for us. So, Lord, just help us to hear and understand and obey Your Word today and every day. Speak to us through Your Word, Heavenly Father. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. All right. Jonah chapter 3. I'm going to read the first two verses now. All right. So Jonah chapter 3 verse 1 says, "Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, 'Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it the message that I tell you.'" Call out against it the message that I tell you. So I want us to see four truths from chapter 3, all right? Here's the first one. Truth number one: God can still use us after we fail. That's a good word. That's something that all of us need to hear, because you know what? We're all going to fail from time to time. Nobody's going to be able to walk and live a perfect life. That's our goal. That's our aim. We try to live every second for Jesus, but sometimes we fail. And it's so good to know that God doesn't just cast us aside. God doesn't say, well, can't use him anymore. God still uses us even after we fail. God gives second chances and third chances and fourth chances and on and on and on. God's grace is so much bigger and wider and greater than we can even imagine. And Jonah saw that firsthand. Because let's review real quick. Jonah was given an assignment from the Lord, and he said, heck no. He ran the opposite direction. He said, I'm not doing it. And he ran from God. He got to the point that he would have rather died than obey God. But God preserved him. And God said, you ain't going out like that. You're going to do what I've called you to do. And so he preserved him in the fish. And in the fish, Jonah kind of came to his senses. He remembered the Lord. He repented. And he was put back out to do the work that we're going to read about in chapter 3. God still was willing to use Jonah to accomplish his purposes towards the Ninevites, even though he had fallen. And that was a pretty big fall. So I think it's important for us to realize that God doesn't need people to accomplish his will. God doesn't need us. God has no weaknesses, so God can accomplish his purposes all by himself, right? But God wants to use us. He could accomplish everything without us, but he chooses to include us in the process of building his kingdom. And that's pretty amazing if you think about it. He can do anything all by himself, but he uses us. He uses nobodies like us, right? The God of the universe lets us participate in his work on this earth. He uses us to share the truth of the gospel with others that don't know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, right? What is that truth that we share? Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through him. That's John 14:6. So God uses us to share the truth of the gospel. God also includes us in the process of building his kingdom by showing love and kindness to others in his name. That's why we show love and kindness, because he's shown that to us, And he's told us now go out and show that same love and kindness to other people. We should set the example in showing love and kindness to others. The world that we live in today needs it now more than ever. And the church should lead the way in this area. I really believe that. I believe if there's anybody that's going to step up and show love to other people, whether we look like them, agree with them, whatever, we should show love to people because that's what God has called us to do. And the church needs to step it up. I need to step it up. We need to step it up. We help people that need help. We stand up for injustice, right? For all people, because all people are made in God's image. God chooses to use us, and we should be excited about that, right? We should be thankful that He still chooses to use us for His glory, even when we sin and we fall short. God chooses to include us in His work because He's patient with us. When it comes to salvation, we know God is patiently waiting for all who will come to repentance. That verse you've probably heard before, 2 Peter 3, verse 9 says, "The Lord is not slow to fulfill His promise, as some count slowness, but is patient." Y'all say patient. Oh, come on, that was weak. Y'all say patient.
Patient.
Much better. "He is patient towards you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance." Some people respond the first time they hear the gospel, and some people hear it over and over and over until one day they respond in repentance and belief. Aren't you thankful that our God is patient and long-suffering towards mankind in salvation? It's not a "you got one chance to get it right" kind of a deal. He has continued. The Bible says He speaks to us through His creation. He speaks to the lost world through His people. He speaks through His word. So there are opportunities to respond because God is patient and long-suffering. When it comes to participating in the plans that God has for you, thankfully God gives second chances in that regard as well. See, I can relate to Jonah. Like Jonah, I ran from God's will for my life, right? My reasons were a little different from Jonah's. Jonah didn't want to do what God called him to do. I didn't think I could do what God called me to do. So I guess I was a little more like Moses in that regard. If you remember, Moses said, "Hey, you got to get somebody else. I can't speak. I can't do what you're telling me to do." I didn't think I could be a pastor. And you know what? I was right. I can't be a pastor on my own. I'm not up for the job on my own, but I can do anything that God calls me to do by His strength and through His strength. And so every day, I constantly have to remind myself that it's not because of me. I don't have to live up to an expectation. All I have to do is love and serve Almighty God and let Him do what He's going to do. Maybe some of you can relate to that feeling of I don't feel like I'm up to the challenge. I don't feel like I'm up to what God has called me to do. Maybe you know God has called you to do something for Him, but you just don't think that you're up to it. You don't think you're the man for the job. You don't think you're the woman for the job, right? But God is able to do all things, and He chooses to use us to do them. So we've got to trust in Him. He can and He will accomplish great things for His glory in your life. All right? Well, let's continue in chapter 3 now. We're going to pick up with verse 3. "So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, 3 days' journey in breadth. Jonah began to go into the city, going a day's journey, and he called out." This was his message to the people. "Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown." You got 40 days, Nineveh, and you're going to be overthrown. All right, here's the second truth from the text. Here's number 2. We can't take God's patience for granted. It's a wonderful truth that God is patient with us and that He gives second chances, right? That's wonderful. But we can't take that patience for granted and just assume, oh, I can do that tomorrow. Oh, I can believe tomorrow. Oh, I can confess and repent tomorrow. We're not promised another second, right? So we can't take his patience for granted. Because listen, sometimes the mission that God gave you or me can be passed on to somebody else. Have you ever thought about that? God leads us, directs us to do all kinds of things in life. And when we resist, sometimes he patiently waits. And just like with Jonah, we go through something, and when we come out of it, the same mission applies, right? We got the same task. Sometimes we resist, and God chooses to, okay, I'm going to make that happen through somebody else now because you resisted, right? So we can't take God's patience for granted. We can either be a part of God's mission or we can miss out on it potentially. Have you ever wondered what would have happened if Jonah would have continued to refuse to do what God called him to do? Do you think God would have just shrugged his shoulders and said, I guess I'm not going to be reaching the Ninevites anytime soon. Jonah's just not willing to do it. Right? That's silly, right? God's going to do what God's going to do. Now, he can use Jonah, and he did use Jonah. But if Jonah would have refused, God would have used somebody else. And we'd be reading about somebody else's name in this book that obeyed God. When I think back to things that God has called me to do that I refuse to do, it really makes me sad to think that I missed out on being a part of something incredible. Because whether it's something big, like Peter preaching and 3,000 people getting saved, or whether it's one act of kindness that years down the road would have been just part of somebody's story of coming to faith in Christ, whether it's big or small, when I resist and God uses somebody else instead of me, I missed out on that. I missed out on the blessing, and I missed out on being a blessing. And so I can think of specific examples where God was leading me, and I dug my heels in and just said no. And I regret that, but I'm thankful that he didn't cast me aside, and he's still giving me opportunities, right? I'm thankful. I know you are as well. Is God leading you to do something for him right now, and maybe you're scared to do it? It's okay to be scared to do something, because God, most of the time, he's going to call us out of our comfort zone, right? When he calls us to do something, it's usually not the easy way out. In fact, a lot of times he'll call me to do something and I'll try to find an easy way to do it. But a lot of times it just boils down to you got to trust in him and do what he's called you to do, even when it makes you uncomfortable. You're not sure you want to do what God's calling you to do. Maybe you're not sure you're able to do what God's calling you to do. Whatever the reason, I want to encourage you to just trust God and move in the direction that God's leading you. Brother Gary, he taught, did a great job on Wednesday night, and he correctly pointed out that I like to quote a man named Warren Wiersbe. He was a fantastic Bible scholar. He passed away a little more than a year ago now. His commentaries on the books of the Bible have been just an incredible help to me many, many times. And I always study the Word, and I try to focus on it and hear from the Word first and foremost. But when I turn to a commentary, when I want to get somebody else's perspective, Warren Wiersbe is just about always the first person I turn to. Listen to this quote from Wiersbe. I wish I would have thought of this. I'd put it on a t-shirt or something. But Warren Wiersbe, listen to this quote. He says, "The will of God will never lead you where the grace of God cannot keep you and the power of God can't use you." Think about that. God is not going to lead us somewhere just for us to fail if we trust in him. Now, God can lead me and I can try to do it all on my own and fail spectacularly, right? But if I go where God leads me and I trust in him and his grace and his strength to do through me what he's called me to do, it's not going to fail. Because God doesn't fail. It may not go the way that I thought it was going to go. I may not get the immediate reaction that I thought I was going to get, but God's purposes are not going to fail. If God called you to it, He'll bring you through it. Amen, church? All right. The third truth from the text for us to see this morning is this. Jonah didn't let past failures keep him from accomplishing his assignment from God. So this is sort of looking at both sides of this. Jonah failed. God didn't cast him aside. But then on the other hand, Jonah didn't get stuck in his failure. Jonah didn't cast himself aside. It would have been easy for Jonah to feel like a failure, and it would have been easy for him to be stuck in that failure. But it takes courage to respond to a failure in life and not give up. I've failed a whole lot, and I've had to respond. Sometimes I've had courage. Sometimes I've been stuck in my failure for a long time until God pulled me out. Have you ever failed to do something that God's called you to do? I think we all, if we're honest, we have failed to follow God's lead at some point in our lives, because failure is a part of life. But what's really important is not when we fail, but how we respond to our failures. Most of the time we get that backwards. We think what's important is, oh, I failed. That's all that matters. That's not all that matters. You're going to fail. I fail. Everybody fails. How do you respond to that failure? How will you respond when you mess up, when you fall short? Will you get stuck, or will you step up the next time God calls on you to do something? See, Jonah still didn't like the Ninevites. He'd been cast off the ship, sank in the water, thought he was going to drown, got swallowed by a fish, spent 3 days and three nights in this great big fish. And he came out of it willing to do what God called him to do. He still didn't like the Ninevites. Nothing had changed there. He was willing to obey God. He still didn't like the people that he was being called to go and minister to. But in spite of that, Jonah stepped up and he did what God was calling him to do. I want us to understand why it was that Jonah had such an intense dislike for the Ninevites. Nineveh was a city in the Assyrian kingdom, and they were known far and wide for their brutality, for their violence, and for having no mercy towards anyone. They did things that I'm not going to describe to you because there's kids in the room. I mean, they were a brutal, vicious, merciless people. And so when Jonah receives this message, go tell the Ninevites that they're going to be destroyed in 40 days. As far as Jonah was concerned, that's a death sentence. You're going to send me to the most violent people that have ever lived and give them bad news? I'm dead. Maybe that's why he ran, right? He's trying to save his own life. But that's why Jonah was so against the idea that God would show such an evil people such mercy. But even though he didn't agree, this time Jonah obeyed the Lord. Jonah traveled to the city of Nineveh, and it's described as a great city. And he shared the message that God gave him. In 40 days, Nineveh will be overthrown. Some translations say Nineveh will be destroyed or demolished. The same word that was used for Sodom and Gomorrah and what was going to happen to it is used for Nineveh. There's going to be nothing left. Now, the Bible doesn't say that this is all that Jonah said, but this was the crux of the message. This was like a bullet point summary of the message that he brought to these people. Destruction is coming. But you know, considering what Jonah had just been through, you got to believe that Jonah probably told them about how he had tried to run from God and how he'd ended up in the belly of a big fish. Whatever was included in Jonah's message, it was effective. We're about to see that as we continue reading now in Jonah chapter 3, starting in verse 5. In verse 4, Jonah said, 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Verse 5, and the people of Nineveh believed God. They called for a fast. They put on sackcloth from the greatest of them to the least of them. The word reached the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, removed his robe, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. And he issued a proclamation and published through Nineveh, by the decree of the king and his nobles, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Let them not feed or drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth, and let them call out mightily to God. Let everyone turn from his evil way and from the violence that is in his hands. Who knows? God may turn and relent and turn from his fierce anger so that we may not perish. Verse 10, when God saw what they did, how they turned from their evil way, God relented of the disaster that he had said he would do to them, and he did not do it. All right, so here's the fourth, the final truth from the text. God always responds to genuine repentance. God always responds to genuine, real repentance. The Bible tells us that the people of Nineveh repented. They took off their normal clothing and they put on mourning clothes. They covered themselves with ashes. They publicly promised not to commit violence anymore. They were well aware of their reputation, the things that they had done, and they said, hey, we understand why God is angry with us. They said, we promise not to commit this violence anymore. God heard their cries and he relented from the destruction that he had planned for them. So the Ninevites were spared another 150 years. Later on, just a couple of chapters later, a couple of books later in the Old Testament, the book of Nahum, we read that Nineveh was finally destroyed. The Ninevites had repented to avoid destruction, but their repentance proved to be short-lived. So Wednesday night, Brother Gary led us in a Bible study about the two roads, right? He read from the Gospel of Matthew where it tells us that there's a wide road and there's a narrow road. Many take the wide road that leads to destruction. And some are going to stand before God fully expecting to be welcomed into heaven, only to be told that God never knew them. That's one of the scariest verses in the Bible to me, that there are people that are fooled into thinking that they're in good standing with God, and when it matters the most, when you stand in his presence, to find out he never knew you. That's horrifying. The Ninevites repented in Jonah chapter 3 because they didn't want to be destroyed. They were willing to repent in order to save their lives from destruction, but we don't know if they repented and believed in God for salvation. I can't judge anybody. I'm not going to say they didn't, but we don't know for sure from what we read in the text that the Ninevites repented for salvation. We just know they didn't want to be destroyed. That decision to repent of sin and believe in Jesus as Lord and Savior, that is one that all of us have to make if we desire to be set free from the penalty of our sins, and we desire to live not just this life, but to live in eternity with God in heaven. We all have to make that decision, and that nobody can make that decision for us. It's a personal decision that each one of us have to make. It's a personal decision. It's the most important decision that we'll ever make. So if we're going to get anything right, let's make sure that we get that decision right. Whether we're going to accept Jesus, what he did on the cross for us, repent of our sins, trust in him as our Lord and Savior. Let's make sure that we get that right, church. Y'all pray with me. Heavenly Father, Lord, I love you. I thank you, God, for your word. I thank you, Lord, for Jonah chapter 3 and what we can learn from that. I pray, God, that each one of us would go forward, that we would leave here today knowing beyond a shadow of a doubt that we have accepted you as Lord and Savior. If there's anybody here that's never done that, I pray, Heavenly Father, that you would lead them to do that, that you would open their eyes, help them to see their great need for you, and help them to see the great God that is able to fill that great need. I pray, God, that you would use Jonah chapter 3. I pray that you would use the entire Bible. I pray that you'd use this entire time that we've spent together to draw us close to you and to help us to know you better and to live for you and to be a light in a dark world, because this world needs it. We love you, Lord. Thank you for this time together. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. All right, so God always responds to genuine repentance. Nobody ever has to worry that they're going to want to be saved, but God's just not going to save them. There's no such thing as a person that wants to be a part of God's family, but he says, no, not you. He's patiently waiting for all to come to repentance. The only people that won't be a part of God's family for eternity are those that choose not to be. The Bible tells us we're all equally guilty in sin, right? And the result of our sin, the payment that we owe because of our sin, is death. And not just a one-time death. We're all going to die someday. But we're talking about eternity. We're talking about spiritual death. Eternal separation from the presence of God. But the Bible tells us that the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. God showed his love for us that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. We didn't have to do anything to earn it. While we were still sinners, before we ever even knew we were sinners, Christ died in our place. He took on the penalty that we owe so that we could know him as Lord and Savior. So if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, the Bible says very simply, you will be saved. It's not complicated. So I want to ask everybody to bow your heads for just a moment. If there's anybody here in this room, if there's anybody that's watching maybe on Facebook that wants to make that decision that I've been talking about, to trust Jesus for salvation, what I want you to do is I just want you to pray from your heart. You don't have to say any particular words in any particular order. There's no magic formula. You just speak from the heart and you pray something like this. God, I know that I'm a sinner. I know what my sin deserves, and I know that Jesus paid the price for me because he loved me. God, save me from my sin. Guide me in my life. Help me to love you and know you and to help others know you. It's in the name of Jesus I pray. Amen. If you prayed that or something like that, then you just got saved. You just received salvation. I want to ask you, whether you're here, whether you're on Facebook, let me know about that so I can help you. I mean, there's a big change when we get saved, and life is different. It's better, but I want to help you as your pastor. I want to help you on some next steps, some things to do as a result of that decision. And most of all, I want to celebrate that with you. Anytime somebody gets saved, that's a reason to rejoice. That's a reason to celebrate. And so I would love to celebrate that with you if you prayed that prayer. Want to ask everybody, if you're able, to stand. We're going to have a time of response. We're going to sing. If you want to respond to anything that the Lord may be doing in your heart, you can do that at this time. You can set up a time for baptism. You can ask about joining the church. You can ask questions about the church. You can pray. We don't really have an altar, but you don't really need one. You just bow, you take a knee, take a seat, bow your head. You can pray where you're at, up here, anywhere. Or you can have somebody pray with you over an issue if you need to. So any of that, anything the Lord's leading you to do, you can respond during this time of invitation. I want to invite everybody to sing. Brother Robert.
Follow, follow.
Appreciate you, church. Love you. Thank you so much for being a part of what God's doing in this church, in this community. I love being a part of it. And we're going through crazy times right now, but I know that God is still in control. And I'm looking forward to what God is going to do through all this craziness. I believe no matter what's happening, God is always in control. And there's always a light at the end of the tunnel. There's always a plan. Most of the time we can't see it. So I'm excited to see what God is going to do through this. Sandy, would you pray for us before we dismiss?
Sure.
Thank you.
Dear Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for all your blessings that you've done for us, dear Lord. We just ask you to bless the prayer requests, Lord. You know all their needs. Lead, guide, and direct us as we go your will and your way. Keep us safe in this rainy weather. Bring us back as you make the appointed time. Forgive us of our sins and where we failed, dear Lord. We ask all this in your name. In Jesus' name, pray. Amen.
Amen.